Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our very special guest tonight is Bradley Buckles, Director, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Welcome, Director Buckles.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, in this first segment, let's find out more about the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I mean, as I recall, the agency can trace its history to the Revolutionary War and the Whiskey Rebellion of 1794. Perhaps you could tell us a little more about the history and bring us up to date.
Well, that's right. Some people have also remarked that we were the Internal Revenue Service before there was an Internal Revenue Service. The very first taxes laid by the federal government were taxes on alcohol. During a large portion of the early part of the United States, excise taxes on alcohol and tobacco formed a major source of U.S. revenue. And income taxes, which of course now are the major source of federal revenue, was a relatively late development during and after the Civil War.
Now, you began your career at ATF over 25 years ago. Could you tell us about the various positions you've had during your career?
Well, I've had a slightly different career for someone who would be the head of ATF or the head of an agency of this sort. I entered the government in 1974 in a position of an attorney advisor in the office of chief counsel in our headquarters office. And I've spent my entire career there until I was named the deputy director in 1996. Now, in the chief counsel's office, I held a variety of positions of assistant to the chief counsel, assistant chief counsel for litigation. I was the deputy chief counsel for 12 years, and then served as the chief counsel before becoming the deputy director. But my entire career up until that time was on the legal side of ATF.
Now, you're currently one of the highest-ranking career officials in the Department of Treasury, and I'm curious, could you tell us about your role as a career official in a very political town and a very high-profile agency?
Well, it's what makes the job interesting. Let's put it that way. I'm a career employee, and I love the fact that I do it. I've worked with Republicans and Democrats throughout my career, probably more Republicans than Democrats to this point in time. And our issues are controversial with both sides of the aisle in Congress. They don't necessarily fall along party lines when it comes to issues surrounding alcohol and tobacco and firearms. So it's an interesting challenge to be able to work with those issues and everyone on them. It's why I believe that ATF's primary value in this field is to be able to be dependent upon to the political leaders of either party as someone who tells it straight, who deals with the issues fairly and frankly, and doesn't attempt to carry its own agenda onto the sensitive issues that follow these products.
Are there different management perspectives based on where you are as a career official versus a political appointee? Would we expect different management styles, perhaps?
Well, I don't know that it would be so much different management styles, because there are political appointees who would be running agencies of my size or of ATF size throughout the government. And I think as an executive, they probably would face the same challenges that I would face. One thing that is different is that they would normally carry the responsibility of setting the administration's political agenda on different offices and programs that they were responsible for, whereas that is not our responsibility to set the political agenda. Our responsibility is to execute on the agenda set by the Congress and the administration.
And in a few minutes ago, when you described your career, you said you had spent some time as the deputy director. How did that prepare you to become the director?
Well, that was probably the most important time. 4 years as the deputy director, I served as one of my principal roles as deputy was the chairman of our strategic leadership team, and that's almost like a board of directors, if you will, within the agency that we use to set our strategic plan and then to follow that strategic plan and ensuring that it's being implemented throughout the agency. So that was the first direct management position that I was in ATF, and it was probably the most important in terms of setting me up for my job now as the director. Although one of the advantages of working in the chief counsel's office and being in headquarters was that I would been part of the executive staff and strategic leadership team in various forms for probably about 15 years prior to becoming director. So I have a good history on what we've done in the past, why we did things in the past, what worked and what didn't work. The deputy director job then set me up where I was in a position of actually making the decisions about those as opposed to being in an advisory capacity.
And what were the lessons you learned as opposed from having been an advisor to actually having make the decisions?
Well, it's always easier to give the advice. I can tell you that. Even the transition from deputy to director. As deputy, I was often in a position where I was advising and recommending to the director as to what kind of positions to take. And I'm now in a position where I don't make recommendations. I have to make the decisions and carry them out. It's a different mind frame that you must be into, but I've enjoyed it, and it's new challenges that I've found very exciting.
One of the things I found interesting is that you bring a legal background to this position rather than, I think, a more traditional law enforcement training. And so I'm curious how your legal background has helped you as director.
Well, as I've watched this this city change and government agencies change over the years, it's becoming more and more of legal issues on almost everything you do in the management area. I'm sure it's the same thing in the private sectors, where counsel are playing a much greater role in almost everything a corporation has to do because of the legal implications. The same is true, and probably even more so, in the federal government, where personnel decisions, procurement decisions, the whole range of things that would normally be management issues that you would deal with are all very heavily laden with legal requirements. And having that background and understanding the legal implications of different aspects of our work, I think, is something that helps me tremendously in dealing with and understanding the implications of the problems that we face as a bureau.
And I've also heard it said that the study of law just makes an individual more rigorous about how approaching problems as well.
Well, I think that's probably true because of the way we learn things as lawyers, the way we learn to analyze and break things down, test theories. It is a different way of thinking than you would quite often see in some traditional management approaches, which are can be somewhat more rigid in terms of a decision-making process.
And speaking of management, a minute ago you talked about the strategic leadership team. Could you tell me a little bit more about this team and its role?
Well, when we sat down 5 years ago, I believe it was, to set out a strategic plan for ATF, this was a task that we were set to by then Director John McGaugh, who had joined ATF from Secret Service. And when we sat down to do that, part of the structure we came up with to carry those plans out into the future was that we had to operate as a team on the executive level to see any of those plans through. If we simply came up with grand schemes and then everybody went back to their office and took care of their own business, the strategic plans would not be met. The day-to-day demands would continue to govern the decisions that were being made as opposed to the long-range goals. So by setting up a strategic leadership team, which was composed of all of the assistant directors who were required in that capacity to be thinking beyond whatever their particular business operation might be within ATF, everyone was required to be thinking of larger bureau issues and the implications of all of the decisions we were making. It forced us to make more strategic investment decisions about where we were going as an agency, and by using that larger body, making sure that everybody was pulling in the same direction in achieving those goals.
Well, great. And it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.